Tired of living unforgiven. I became convinced some time ago that a person isn't ready to come to the Lord in repentance until they're tired of living unforgiven. When you come to a point where you don't want to live the life you're living one more day, you'd rather die than live like that one more day, then you come to Jesus and lay it all down at his feet. Thank you, Randy. Well, I sang with the children, and I guess I have to sing with you. Linda and I were talking. I'm going to be preaching this morning from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. You can turn there while I do this. Linda and I were talking the other day, and I was talking about how so many times in life a situation will bring a scripture to mind. And she said, you know, that's true. And I've also found that many things in life bring a song to your memory. And it's really funny that we talked about that, because as I was preparing this, I remembered an old camp meeting song that probably nobody here knows. If you happen to know it, just put your hand up. In fact, it's a camp meeting song. You can put your hand up and say hallelujah. But it says, brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone's far lost and wandering, going across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. All right, brighten the corner where you are. That's singing scripture. The Sermon on the Mount is a wonderful passage of scripture. 111 verses. It's the longest single discourse that the Lord Jesus ever preached. It's when you think about the Sermon on the Mount, you have to kind of get the setting in your mind to appreciate it. The description in the Gospels and what we know of the geography of Palestine tells us that when Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount, it was just off that road that skirts the Sea of Galilee. And the place that he preached, it probably was in that area between Tiberias and Metula. The Church of the Loaves and Fishes was built in the 4th century, and it's very close, probably, to where the sermon was preached. In fact, there's a 330-foot hill there. And I don't know, maybe it should have been the Sermon on the Mound. But the 330-foot hill is pretty much recognized as the place where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And the thing is, the Sermon on the Mount, beginning with the Beatitudes, brought to light an entirely different, a revolution in the way people were to think of the love of God and the way that God reaches out to the whosoever. Aren't you glad you're one of the whosoever? Amen. And it shows us that he reaches out to every single person, calling them out of the bondage of sin and into abundant living. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is probably one of the most countercultural sermons that was ever preached. I mean, nothing in there agrees with the way people in the world think. Beginning with the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom. Come on. But Jesus was trying to help people understand that our life is not rooted in the out there somewhere in the world. Our life is rooted in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think about that and we think about the Sermon on the Mount, it can make us pretty excited. You know, Jesus preached in the marketplaces, on the roads, on the highways. He preached at the seashore to fishermen. Jesus didn't preach in great big churches. In fact, they didn't want to hear his message. I've often wondered if he came back and started preaching today, how many big churches want to hear his message? But at any rate, the Acts of the Apostles were exactly the same thing. You see, all of that preaching taking place, reaching people where they were in the marketplace. And we need to understand that Jesus has called us and told us that we are ambassadors for Christ, and we're entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation. And so the church gathers on Sunday, but then the church scatters on Monday through Saturday, and we are to be something in the world we live in. Let's read the passage. Beginning in Matthew 5, I'll begin reading in verse 13 and read through verse 16. Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." He said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Pray with me for a moment. Father, pray that you fill this place with your Spirit, and that you drive your word deep into each heart. God, help us. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you that I went to seminary. Y'all knew I went to seminary, didn't you? And we learned lots of things in seminary. But you know, I had a wise, wise old man tell me before I went, the week before I went, he came up and he put his arms around me. He said, "Brother Bob, don't you go down there to the seminary and let them ruin you." And there's a lot of good, but you have to know what the best is. I hear church people, and I hear it come out of our schools, talk about a church growth strategy. And I hear people talk about every church needing a missionary or missions strategy. And that every church needs to have a ministry strategy. Hey! There's only one strategy. It's simple. There is only one strategy. As you are going, make disciples. Jesus laid it out plainly and simply. I'm always amazed that in our hectic, fast-paced life, and the society we live in, the Word of God has never lost its relevance and never lost its power. How many of you have bought a computer lately? I bought a laptop not long ago, and I bought the laptop. I took it home. You know, you have to sit down. You have to set it up. You have to put passwords in, yada, yada, and all that stuff. And I did all of that. And do you know what the first thing that that thing said to me was? Click here for the updates. I bought it loaded with all this stuff. And by the time I took it out of the carton and sat down with it, it was out of date. And it needed updates. And that's just exactly how our world is. And I want you to tell, I want to tell you something. The Word of God does not need to be updated. Doesn't need to be refurbished. Doesn't need any of those things. And so I think that what we need to get back to is what Jesus said, standing on a quiet hillside. Jesus laid out his plan in the simplest of terms. First of all, he said, you need to be in the business of radiating Christ's love. You see, it's what we do because of who we are. I think back to John chapter, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 through 7. I just want to read this to you. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Is that hard to understand? It's not hard to understand. It's what we do because of who we are. You know, a light can't help punching holes in darkness. It just can't help it. Did you ever flick the switch at your house and the light switch and expect the room to stay dark? Did you ever flick it and the light came on but the room stayed dark? You see, that's not how it works. That little bitty piece of tungsten in there receives a jolt of electricity and it fires up to a brightness that lights the entire room. And it penetrates the darkness. It penetrates the darkness. Have you ever been camping and built a fire at night? It's amazing what that does. It attracts some things, but it drives off some others, doesn't it? I always love to have a fire because it drives off the skeeters and the bears and the mossikins and alligators. You know, I just love to be in the light. Do any of you ever still have just a little fear of darkness? Tell the truth, don't lie. Little fear of the darkness. Little fear when there's no light of just stepping out there. You see, we don't adapt well to darkness, and we don't live well in darkness. You know why? Because Christ and God made us for light. We're made for light. For the light of the Lord Jesus. He told the people something else. He said, don't hide your light. Now that seems like a silly thing, doesn't it? To hide your light. You see, we choose to refuse to shine. Did you get that? That's a choice that we make. if you are light, and that's what the Bible says you are the light of the world. If you're not shining in the world, it's because you choose not to. And you cover it up with something. You hide your light under a bushel. You know why people do that? They want to duck the accountability that comes with going public with your faith. When you stand before people and you say, yes, I'm a Christian, then you're going to be accountable. And people are going to watch you. And it costs people something when they go public with their faith. I think it cost Tim Tebow something. I think he's a great Christian. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he got a fair chance because of his unashamed stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I believe. And so sometimes we want to hide that light a little bit because we don't want to be accountable for our Christian faith. To me, that's pretty sad, really. That's pretty sad. You see, the point is simply this. We don't have an option. There's not a plan two. There's not a plan B. We don't have an option. We are light. We are to shine. And the thing is simply this that I have found in my life. The higher you hold the light, the further it penetrates. Does that make sense? I can remember those nights out there in the black, black woods with a campfire, and you'd grab a lighted branch out of that fire and hold it up high so you could see. When you held it up high, what happened? The darkness dissipated before the light. The light penetrated the darkness, and you could see. And the trouble with the world today is that we have a lot of Christians walking around with their light in their pocket because they don't want to be held accountable, and they need to lift it up high so that the Lord Jesus Christ gets glory. Amen. Don't hide your light. Don't hide your light. Lift it high. It'll penetrate further. Now, I want to just give you a few practical steps, and then we're going to be done. Some practical steps to carrying the light and the love of Jesus to the where you are. Now, I want you to remember the song. Brighten the corner where you are. Where you are. I want you to understand, you don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Yankee Land, where the snowbirds are. You don't have to go to the ghetto in Miami. All you have to do is go home and light up your neighborhood. Light up your neighborhood. And so it's a matter of letting the light and the love of Jesus shine where you are. First of all, keep the unseen partner close to you. You know who that is? God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I don't want to belittle the Lord with illustrations, and that really that's what happens. But I think of this giant battery pack that's with me always. I can't run out of light. I can't run out of light because God Himself walks with me every single day. And the way that you do this and the way that you acknowledge it is that you need to keep it conscious. You need to keep it conscious. Start by first thing in the morning, when you're praying, pray for those that you will meet during the day. I'm talking about people in your neighborhood. I'm talking about when you go out and pick up your paper, and the neighbor is out picking up his paper. You know what the greeting should be? Say, oh, gee, my back hurts when I'm back. No, come on. The greeting should be, hasn't God given us a lovely day? A lovely, give God glory. Pray for every person that you will meet during that day, and pray for a compassionate, discerning heart. Know when that person is hurting. Know when you need to come alongside them and put your arm around them and say, you're not yourself. Can I help you? You know, we need to pray every day for those divine appointments that only God can make. How many of you have an appointment calendar? Now, I don't keep mine because I don't do it very well. But Carol keeps ours. And I'll say, honey, what's on the calendar? What's on the calendar? You know what we need to do? We need to be ready every single day to scratch out what I got on the calendar and put on there what God has on the calendar for the day. Is what you have on the calendar more important than what God has on the calendar? Well, it's not, but we live that way, don't we? And then we wonder why we don't have power. We wonder why no one ever listens to the witness that we try to share. And the point is, we're simply not on the same page as God. Get on the same page as God. We also need to pray for God's powerful presence in our lives. His powerful presence in our lives. I've never met a person whose deep need was for anything that I had to say. The deep needs in life are what God has to say. And we better be in tune with Him and prayed up and looking for those opportunities, but more than that, relying on His power to speak through us and to touch the lives of people. So keep the unseen partner close to you. And also, transform your attitude. Boy, we need an attitude adjustment a lot of times, don't we? Need an attitude adjustment. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed, and we need to be transformed in our attitude. If you have a transformation in your attitude, it will also transform your life. Did you know that? Did you ever meet a person that it's impossible to bless? No, I really have. I met some people that their attitude was so bad, and I have purposely gone out of my way and tried to bless them, and you can't. They're unblessable because of their attitude. And so we need to be sure that our attitude is what it should be in the Lord Jesus. And if you will have a transformation of attitude, I guarantee you, it'll turn on your light. Woo! It really will. Get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ and see what happens to your face. You heard what I told the children. You'd start to sing and talk about Jesus, and your face just gets happy. Your face just gets happy. I've heard Don stand up here and say, you know, sing this like you're happy. Like you're happy. We need transformation that will turn on the light. And more than that, it turns the boring into bright. How many of you have a boring life? You know, I mean, a lot of people, they just have a boring life. It will turn your boring into bright if you'll get right with the Lord Jesus. I read a story about a preacher in New York City, and I have to read the story or I won't get it all right. His name was Gordon MacDonald, and he pastored a church called Trinity Baptist Church in New York City, and he rode the same bus into the church every single day. Same bus, same bus driver. The bus driver complained to him one day, and he said, "You've got it a lot better than me." Any bus driver that thinks he got it better than a preacher is in serious trouble. He says, "You've got it a lot better than me." He says, you have an interesting job, and you travel and you go different places. "I just drive this bus up and down the same old route." MacDonald told the bus driver his job could be a Christian ministry if he would just let it. He said, "Every day when you first get on the bus, before anybody else, before you pick up a soul, before anybody else gets on the bus, consecrate the bus to the Lord's glory. Declare it to be a sanctuary for God. And then act as if it's a place where God dwells." Well, he had to go out of town for a couple of weeks, and he came back, and after a couple of weeks, he had gone back in town to the church, and he got on the bus, and of course, it was the same driver, and the driver said, "You've transformed my life." He said, "I've been doing what you said every day, and it has made me see my job in an entirely new perspective." I want you to know something. There's not a job in the world that's more exciting than sharing the gospel message and watching a precious soul come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if that's not true in your life, you've never done it. I don't care what your job is. I don't care if you fly with the Blue Angels or anybody. It doesn't make any difference to me. There's not a job in the world that's more exciting than sharing the gospel with a person and seeing them come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to share the gospel right in the corner where we are. And third, we need to just simply realize that our mission field is right where you are. You hold in your hand just what every single person in the world needs. You hold in your hand the precious gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, that God loved this world so much he gave his son, that all of us are sinners and that the wages of that is death. But God has done something And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. You hold that in your hand. What do you want to do? You want to hide it under a bushel? Or do you want to say, precious, precious people, come to know Jesus? You hold in your hand just what every single person needs. And I want you to think about your neighborhood. I want you to think about your neighborhood. Did you know that neighborhood is the largest mission field in the world? Neighborhood. And people travel around the world to share Jesus and won't speak to their neighbor across the street. God help us. The point is simply this. Jesus said, you're the light of the world, and so be what you are. Be what you are, and brighten the corner where you are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for a time when we can close out everything else but your spirit and spend time in your word. And the desire of my heart is that your word will bear fruit in the lives of those that have heard it. There might be one that needs to come and say, you know, I've experienced the Lord Jesus for myself, and I've surrendered my life to him. I don't want you to know that publicly. It might be that there might be one here that needs to say, God, forgive me. I don't share Jesus. I don't share him. Might be one here that needs to come and be a part of this church family. And be involved as we love people together. Whatever God lays on your heart, I invite you to come and do. You come to Jesus, you don't come to me. The choir will sing the hymn of invitation, the praise team. I invite you to just stand together. Stand together. And come to Jesus. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this time. Touch each heart. For your sake, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's touched your heart, you need to come and be responsive to what he said.